Hello. Last year when I spoke with you, Hillary, I don't know if she's still in Blessing, was the what do you call that? The spotlight, and then she was sharing about her fertility journey, and then I got up and shared a lot about my daughter's fertility journey and how God timed that so well. And where's Lauren? You are so precious. I'm so glad you shared. And I think what I'm sharing today, I think, ties in with what you shared, because I want to, my goal for this morning is just to speak beauty over you. As moms, I don't know why I feel really emotional this morning, partly because my niece is here. She's going to sing over you at the end. So I'm going to start. Sorry, I'm so nervous. Get all my jiggles out. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these women. Thank you for the gift of motherhood. Lord, I pray that my words would be directly from you, and if there's anything you don't want me to say, pray that I would leave it out. If there's anything you want me to add, God, I pray that you would bring it to mind. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last December, I don't know if I need my glasses. Nope. I was with my daughter-in-law, and my nieces at Voyager's Christmas program, and the speaker shared with us about Mary and how she was highly favored. A gift from God. She went on to then weave that into our lives, those who were there, and it was so wonderful to listen to what she had to say. It was meaningful and important as we moved into the Christmas season. The highlight of the morning, though, was when my niece got up to sing the song she wrote called Seen and Found. I sat in the audience listening to the lyrics she wrote and the music she composed and was blown away, first by the gifts God had given her, and then by the beauty of music. I knew right then and there that I wanted her to be with us this morning to sing over you. And she's going to come up, as I said, at the end. So, you know, we live in very uncertain times where there is a lot of anger and vitriol, things that are ugly and really scary. And I have been so struck since December by true beauty that only comes from God. I remember, whether or not you agree with this whole thing, the TPUSA halftime show. And in the middle of the show, in between certain artists, came up a married man and a woman, one who played the cello and one who played the violin. And they began to play, and I burst into tears because it was so incredibly beautiful. I have seen sunsets and sunrises, people who love one another well, and I have looked at the face of my grandson, and all of it has brought me such pleasure because of the beauty. God's word is also beautiful, and it's a gift to us, and so I'm hoping today what I share with you will be of great delight to you, and I hope the Holy Spirit gently and tenderly speaks truth over your souls where you need it most. So I'm going to open with Luke 1:28. It's kind of a Christmas story. And Luke 1:28 reads, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." This verse contains two extraordinary declarations packed into one sentence. You are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Neither one was earned, both were given. This is the pattern of grace throughout all of Scripture. Gabriel is one of only two angels named by name in the entire Bible, the other being Michael. In Daniel 8 and 9, Gabriel is sent to bring understanding of prophetic visions. In Luke 1, he appears first to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist, and then to Mary. When Gabriel shows up, it means God is doing something significant. And the first thing he says to this young woman is not a command or a warning. It is a declaration of who she is in God's eyes. Notice the order, identity before assignment. Gabriel does not begin with, "Here's what God needs you to do." He begins with, "This is who you are." The task comes later in verse 31, "But first, you are favored." The second phrase, "The Lord is with you," echoes one of the most repeated promises in all of Scripture. God said it to Moses at the burning bush, to Joshua before he crossed the Jordan, to Gideon when he felt the least of the least. Every time God called someone into something hard and holy, he anchored it with his presence. I am with you. That promise has not changed, and it is spoken over every one of you today. And the word "with" in "God is with you" is not passive. It does not mean that God is nearby, watching from a distance. It means he is present, active, engaged, Emmanuel, God with us. The same name given to Jesus in Matthew 1:23. The God who took on flesh to be near us is the same God who is near to you in your ordinary, beautiful, exhausting life. So I want to take a quick look at Mary. She was a young woman, probably a teenager. Scholars believe she was between 12 and 14 years old. And in her culture, that was the age when a young woman would be betrothed, which is far more binding than our modern idea of engagement. She was promised to a man named Joseph, and her future had been arranged, and she was simply living out her ordinary days in Nazareth. And Nazareth, a little bit about Nazareth, it was a tiny, overlooked village in Galilee. It had no military significance, no political power, no prestige. In fact, when Philip tells Nathanael that they have found the Messiah and that he is from Nazareth, Nathanael's response is, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" That was the reputation of her town, small, unforgettable, ordinary. And yet, God chose this town. God chose this girl. Not the daughter of a priest in Jerusalem, not a woman of wealth or influence, a young teenager in a small town just going about her day. And the angel of the Lord showed up to her and said, "You are highly favored." She wasn't in the middle of a prayer retreat. She wasn't coming out of a season of fasting. She was going about her life, and God showed up right in the middle of it. She wasn't famous. She was a young woman with a simple, faithful life. And the very first thing spoken over her was not a task, not a correction. It was an identity statement. "You are highly favored." Think about what was being asked of her. She was young, she was unmarried, and she was being asked to carry someone that would change the entire world, and that no one around her would fully understand. There would be questions, there would be looks, there would be a weight to this calling that she could not have been prepared for. And before any of that was placed on her shoulders, God covered her again with identity. He said who she was before he said what she was going to do. Mary's response, in Luke 1:29, it says she was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting could this be. She didn't feel highly favored. She felt confused and overwhelmed. And I love that because when most of us are called, our first response usually is not confidence. I know it's not my first response, like, yes. It's confusion. It's, "Are you sure? Do you have the right person?" Does that sound familiar? The word "favor," you won't find it anywhere else in the New Testament. It is used only here for Mary in this moment. It means to be one upon whom grace has been lavished, to be the recipient of God's unearned, undeserved, overflowing goodness. The root word is charis. I think that's how you pronounce it. Grace, the same word used throughout the New Testament. Is it a different pronunciation? Oh, cute, really? Aw, I love that. Your name means grace. I love that. When Gabriel says highly favored, he is essentially saying you are a woman drenched in the grace of God. And I love that sentence, drenched in the grace of God. What a picture for all of us to believe as we move throughout our days. This grace is a gift given by God. He gives both common grace, which is the favor that he gives to all people, restraining evil, a general sense of right and wrong, love, friendship, rain, sunshine. Common grace reveals the general goodness of God towards his creation. For those of us that believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he gives saving grace, unmerited favor. Ephesians 2:8-9 reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." Mary was not striving, working towards favor. She was standing in it. The favor of God over your life is not something you are working towards. It is already yours in Christ. You are standing in it, even if you don't feel it today. This word also carries a sense of delight. God is not merely tolerating you. He is not reluctantly putting up with your struggles. The same God who spoke the universe into being looks at each one of you with genuine delight. Zephaniah 3:17 confirms this. It reads, "The Lord God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt over you with singing." He is singing. This is the posture of someone who is overjoyed, not reluctant. Favor does not mean a life without difficulty. Mary's story makes that clear. Being highly favored did not protect her from hard things. It meant she was not alone in them. The favor of God is not a shield from the hard. It is the presence of God in the middle of it, and that is far better. God's favor does not follow your performance. He is not watching you from a distance with a clipboard, waiting for you to catch up before he pours out his love. His delight in you is not contingent on how well your morning went before you walked in here today. You walked in already favored. This was true before you sat down. It was true when you were in the parking lot, maybe exhausted, wondering, should I have come today? It is true right now. So many of us walk around with a low-grade feeling of spiritual falling behind, like if we could just pray more, read our Bibles more, be more patient, be more present, then maybe God would really show up for us. Maybe then we would feel his nearness. But that is not the gospel. That is performance dressed up in spiritual language, and it is exhausting. God came to Mary mid-task in an ordinary moment and declared her favored because she had not, even when she had not done a single thing. He comes to you the same way right now, right here. I know so much of you as a mom goes unseen. The night wakings, the 100th snack, the emotional labor, the patience you dug for when you had nothing left. The world may not see it. Your children may not understand it for years, but God sees every single bit of it, and he does not look at it with indifference. He looks at it with love. You are not invisible to him. You are not behind in his eyes. You are not too tired, too ordinary, or too undone to be favored. I want you to hear it the way Mary heard it, not a goal to work towards, but as a gift already given to you. You are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. I want to now just share some verses with you that have made such an impact in my own life and in my own season of being a mom. Some of them have been so important to me that they are tattooed onto my body. And I want you to hear each of these. I want you to listen and just soak them in and let them go into the deepest part of your souls. They are for you, to encourage you, to remind you, and to uplift you. The first one I already read, Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." God is not silent about you. He is singing over you right now. In the middle of the noise and the laundry and the beautiful chaos of the season you're in, his posture towards you is not weariness or disappointment. It is joy. Notice the phrase in that verse, "He will quiet you by his love." He doesn't quiet you by fixing everything first. He quiets you with his love just as things are. The rest he offers isn't on the other side of your circumstances. It's available to you in the middle of them. This is the God who is mighty enough to save and tender enough to sing. Both are true and both are for you. Isaiah 40:11 reads, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." God does not just lead his people generally. He leads differently those who are caring for little ones. He knows the pace you can keep. He is not ahead of you, arms crossed, tapping his foot. He is beside you, matching your step. The word gently in this verse is very deliberate. You are not being driven or being pressured. You are being led with care, with awareness of your load, with patience for where you are. If you've been feeling behind, like you can't keep up spiritually or in life, hear this. The Good Shepherd sees exactly what you're carrying, and he is leading you at the right pace. You are wonderfully made. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Psalm 139:14. So many of us pour ourselves out for our children and families and quietly lose a sense of ourselves in the process. This verse calls you back to something foundational. You are not just a role. You are a person whom God formed intentionally and calls wonderful. The word fearfully here means with great reverence and wonder. God made you with care and awe. You are not an afterthought. You were crafted. Before you were a mom, before you were a wife, before any of your roles, you were God's workmanship. That doesn't go away in the hard seasons. It is still true now. You are seen. God knows every time you sit and rise, every word on your tongue before you speak it. He is present in every single one of your days. You are chosen. Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose you before the foundation of the world. Before the world began, he wanted you. You are a daughter of the King. 1 John 3:1 says, you are called a child of God, and that is what you are. You are not a servant trying to earn a place at the table. You are a daughter who already has one. You are held. Isaiah 41:13 says, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your hand right now and says, do not fear, I will help you. He has your hand. Romans 8:38-39, neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wrote this as if he were trying to think of every possible thing that could come between a person and God's love, and then declared that none of that works. Not one thing on that list is strong enough to break God's love and God's hold on you. You can add your own list, not the sleepless nights, not the short temper, not the feeling of failing, not the season where you haven't opened your Bible in weeks, not the doubt, not the exhaustion. None of it separates you from his love. His love is not fragile. It does not flinch. It holds. Matthew 11:28-29, he gives you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Notice who Jesus is calling in this verse. It's not the strong, it's not the ones who have it all together, it's the weary and the burdened. And if that is you today, this invitation is especially for you. The rest he promises is not a nap, though those are wonderful. It is soul rest, a deep settling of the heart that comes from being close to the Lord. It is a rest that can exist even in a full and demanding life. He describes himself as gentle and humble in heart. The one asking you to come is not harsh. He is not demanding more from you. He is offering something to you freely right now as you are. Isaiah 43:1, you are called by name. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Three declarations in one breath. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Each one is a gift. To be called by name means you're not just a number, not a category, not just a mom in a general sense. God knows your name. He knows your specific life, your burdens, your children, your struggles. He speaks to you personally. And Jesus makes this even more intimate in Luke 12:7. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The God who sustains the entire universe has counted the hairs on your head. This is not the posture of a God who is too busy for you. This is a God who is tenderly, specifically, personally acquainted with each one of you in every single detail. And the word mine is possessive in the most beautiful way. It means you belong to him. You are held. You are claimed. That is not a burden. That is a shelter. Charles Spurgeon says, "You may fear that the Lord has passed you by, but it is not so. He who counts the stars and calls them by their name is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case thoroughly as if you were the only creature he ever made or the only saint he ever loved. Approach him and be at peace." There are new mercies every morning. That's my little Addie. What are you doing back there? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. What makes this verse remarkable is where it comes from. It comes from the book of Lamentations, which was written in the middle of enormous grief and loss. And yet from that place, the writer declares something stunning. God's mercies do not run out. They are new every morning. If you went to bed last night feeling like you fell short, if you lost your patience, if you missed a moment, or if you're carrying guilt with you today, this verse is for you. Tomorrow morning, his mercies are waiting fresh for you. You do not carry yesterday's deficit into a new day with God. Every morning, is a new beginning with him. This is not cheap grace. That is the faithfulness of God. So with some of the verses I just shared with you, I have papers on the table for each one of you with some reflection questions that can then be used in your discussion time with your tables. So I'm going to go quiet, and I'm going to play some beautiful instrumental music, and I want you to do the same. I want you to sit and be still. This is a time for you and the Lord. I pray that the worries of the world of your day will just go away for a few minutes. So I'm going to go put on some music, and you can just look at the verses. If you want to answer the questions or just sit quietly. So I'm going to give us like 7 minutes. Thank you. So this is my niece, Skylar, my brother's daughter. Before she sings, Moses is my favorite person in the Bible next to Jesus. Jesus is always the right answer. But so I just want to speak this blessing over to you today, and then Skylar's going to sing, and then she'll pray for you to end our time. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
So this is a song that I wrote last December. I go to Voyagers Bible Church, and we had a women's Christmas event, and the theme was favored. And so me and my friend Sophie Hobbs, if you guys know Jonah Hobbs and Taylor Hobbs, we wrote it together for our Christmas event, and it's just about being seen and being found and favored by our Savior. In a humble bed the infant sleeps, the newborn King will set me free.
Favored by
since the beginning of creation and forever. This group of women that you've gathered here today. I thank you that you've all blessed them with babies, Lord, and children. I just pray over everyone here this morning that you remind them that they are favored. It's more than just being known by you, God. It's being chosen and loved and cared for and receiving grace, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.